It's time now for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill. This morning, we welcome Brian Fredrickson. He's the Watershed Project Manager here in the Duluth office with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Hey, Brian, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
So we're talking about Duluth's urban watershed. Probably we need to start with a definition of terms. What and where is our watershed here in this part of the world?
The Duluth urban watershed or urban area streams watershed is kind of an artificial construct that we put together just based on the idea that some major watersheds converge right in the Duluth area. The St. Louis River watershed, and then, of course, the coastal watersheds along Lake Superior, and even a tiny bit of the Cloquet River watershed. So it's, it's the watersheds that come together in this area in a major metropolitan region.
So a watershed on its own is something worthy of paying close attention to, monitoring for what kinds of conditions are there, paying close attention to what it can tell us about our environment. But our watershed is actually a watershed for three watersheds. So it's probably
Yes.
even more important that we pay close attention to it. There is a public comment period that's beginning March 20th. What do you want people's comments about?
There are two major documents that are out for public comment right now. There's one document that's got kind of an acronym that's hard to deal with, but it's a TMDL, and then another one that's the Watershed Restoration and Protection Strategy. And the TMDL is basically the maximum amount of pollutant that can be added to a water body and still meet the water quality standard. So these are out for public comment, and in the Duluth metropolitan area, there are 11 streams that are considered impaired for excessive sediment, and then bacteria are the primary pollutants. Chloride as well.
I'm kind of curious about the TMDL document in the sense that when it comes to setting what should be an allowable amount of pollutants, what's the point of public comment on this? I guess because I'm thinking that wouldn't scientists be in a better place to say, we can get this much gunk in here before we start to have problems?
There's certainly a significant technical component to the TMDL process, but the public can comment on the, whether we missed something important in the document, whether there's some data that wasn't included, those types of things.
Well, and I would imagine that even if scientists say, we can have 3 parts per million before we have a problem, that the public could come back and say, we really want 2 parts per million. Just because we like this watershed. I'm guessing that wouldn't be completely out of line.
No, it wouldn't be out of line. Every one of these streams would have water quality standards for a whole bunch of parameters or, pollutants. So they all have individual kind of numerical standards. And they could, you could comment on a number of things.
Now, when we
you
get,
certainly could,
I'm sorry. Go, please go ahead.
Yeah, you certainly could, ask for a higher level of protection, and that's actually what the RAPS document does, which is really focused on protection. Because even in some of these impaired watersheds, there are some really important resources to protect.
When we get now into the second document that you were talking about, the restoration and protection strategy, that seems like a place where it would be really vital because the MPCA would want to know how do people use the area. If we change this, would it affect anything? If we change that, would it affect anything? And the public and people that use and live on these waterways maybe would have some really valuable information to share as people who are there all year round.
That's a really good point. And there are 27 pages of strategies in that document dealing with each individual watershed in the metropolitan area here.
So what would you recommend for folks who say, you know, I really feel strongly about, you know, Lake Superior or the St. Louis River. I really feel strongly about this area, but I'm not quite sure that I have the technical savvy to wade through all of these documents and necessarily understand. What would you recommend for people like that?
There's a lot that individuals and landowners can do on their own. Landowners in particular, because they control land and what happens on it, they can do all sorts of things from, you know, planting trees to trying to reduce their lawn size and impervious surface like driveways, really kind of bringing back nature to the extent possible. And then for everybody else that, you know, that maybe lives in an apartment or that are visitors to the area, just advocating for the protection of forests and wetlands. I always consider the forests and wetlands kind of the equivalent of the kidneys of a watershed because they filter a lot of the pollutants and hold water on the land. And, you know, people can reduce the amount of salt they apply in the winter on icy surfaces, pick up after their pets, just a whole variety of things that can be done, little actions that add up and make a big difference in the quality of the water and the quality of Lake Superior. All these streams, of course, drain into the St. Louis River or Lake Superior, so they affect other resources.
And the gravity is not our friend here in Duluth, too, because it basically means that everything from the top of the hill washes down the hill and takes everything with it on the way. So, you know, you could live over the hill, and theoretically, you know, if you put a little lawn chemical or something or shake, you know, a little too much salt in your driveway, it could eventually end up in Lake Superior.
Yes. Water pretty much picks up everything that it can carry and moves it downslope, like you say, to the lake or to the river. Cigarette butts, you know, litter, you know, a non-functioning septic system, things off the street surface, just a whole variety of pollutants.
So we will get some links set up on our website so that folks can go and they can take a look at this. Will the public comment period include any public hearings? I was thinking that would be a great opportunity for people who want to learn more to maybe ask a couple of cogent questions and get their answer presented to them. Not in engineer or science speak, but in regular old English. Are there going to be some public meetings?
Yes, we are planning those right now. I can't give you dates.
No problem.
Because we haven't established the locations yet, but we're going to do at least two of them in the Duluth area.
Fantastic. Again, once we've got the web information up, people can certainly drop you a line and say, hey, put me on the list. Let me know when those public comment periods are coming up. And, of course, we'll hear about it, no doubt, through a news release. So, Brian, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It was great to talk with you.
Thank you.
Brian Fredrickson, our guest this morning on Green Visions. He's the Watershed Project Manager of the Duluth office. A public comment period opened yesterday on a couple of documents, and we'll get all the details and some good web links available for you on our website at kumd.org. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible in part by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items, and Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Port supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors.